Always great having him on, Mr. John Bell, the employment attorney extraordinaire, as I say, the founder of the Bell Law Group, by the way, BellLG.com. And, of course, we told you about this in the last couple of days. The city council now considering passing one of the nation's strongest prohibitions against employee non-compete agreements. Also, this legislation, by the way, could void any pre-existing ones. Here to discuss is Mr. Bell. Jonathan, it's so good having you back. This is a subject quite near and dear to me, but it could be some landmark stuff coming into play here, sir. Welcome.
Hey, Jay. Good morning, and thanks again for always having me on. I really appreciate it. But yeah, this is some big news. I mean, it's still in the infancy stage. As you probably know, Governor Hochul vetoed similar legislation that would have applied statewide. So now they're making a run for it in New York City. As you know, there was fierce opposition to this bill from business groups. They argued that non-competes help protect employers from employees taking their intellectual property and clients to a competitor. So you have some valid opposition there, but at the same time, you have supporters who are arguing that it's important to remove any type of barriers for people that are able to get gainful employment. So it's kind of a big bill out there, and as you probably know, there are three of them. There are three renditions, but the most significant one, as you stated, is a complete ban on non-compete. And that's kind of like unique. There are other states that have ban on non-competes, but they all have exceptions, such as California, Oklahoma, Minnesota, and North Dakota. Jay, in New York State, I researched that 44% of workplaces are subject employees to non-compete clauses. And I don't know if you know this, but I do a lot of litigation involving non-compete clauses, both for employers and employees. Regarding enforcement, and you know, it's costly on both sides. It's very, very expensive, and ultimately, it causes sometimes, if it's a good non-compete, causes the employee to be forced to quit or resign their new employment, or if it's not good, then the employee could continue. It really depends upon the actual contract.
You know, I've never been a big fan of this, of these non-competes, and rarely do I ever sign one. And the reason is, I think it's unfair for the incoming person who starts a job, maybe was promised the moon, and quite frankly, things don't pan out the way it was told to them. So, you know what? Decisions have to be made, and greener pastures on the horizon and everything else. Listen, you got to do what you got to do to make a living. And I just think sometimes when you lock somebody in like this, it's somewhat disingenuous all the way around. I think you get a disgruntled employee sometimes in the mix. I think productivity is hurt by some of this stuff. I think one would be better off with a handshake agreement. And listen, if everything is told the way it should be told and things work out, there's no issues. On the other hand, listen, sometimes things don't work out. And quite frankly, I think somebody should have a choice, if it's not working out, to go elsewhere. I just do, without being locked in and knowing that maybe you can't take another job for 6 months in that same field. I think it's somewhat unfair. I think it's certainly that way for the individual trying to get into a company.
So, Jay, I agree with everything you just said, 100%. The only thing is, it's difficult to do a one-size-fits-all legislation because there's going to be certain exceptions. Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Let's say a doctor's office hires a physician, okay, and the doctor gives that physician all of his patients to treat, amongst other doctors. And then, you know, the patients start coming to this physician because now they've been introduced to him and he keeps on working. And then all of a sudden he decides, hey, why am I working here? Why don't I just, in the same building right across the hall, open up my own practice, and then all those people are going to be literally diverted to the new place. So these non-competes generally have to have if they're drafted correctly,
right,
some geographical limit, you know, maybe within a mile radius or a half a mile radius, or within like a certain period, you know, maybe for 6 months or a year, maybe there should be a provision that they get some compensation for the 6 months for a year that they can't work it. So the difficulty is when they're overbroad, like you can't work in New York State or
you can't work
in New York City. But if done in the right way, and I'm not saying that I'm an advocate for them, I would like to see a ban also, but there should be certain exclusions when there really is some good faith reason or basis. This could ruin a business in a sense if an employee takes advantage. So you got to protect both sides, and that's what makes this very difficult legislation to pass. This one size fits all is not easy.
No, I could go along with that. Listen, I think it's a negotiating process. There has to be a little protection. I do agree. I mean, you give a great example. Listen, I could take some of the trade secrets I've learned to go across the street. I think that could be detrimental to the employer. I do think, though, that the employee has to be protected as far as, you know, the not to be precluded to getting another position if that individual is promised things, disgruntled or whatnot. I mean, it's just going to be a bad situation all the way around, terrible situation, because you'll have no productivity at all knowing that, hey, I just entered a company here. They were told, I was told this, this, and that. I didn't get anything. Gee, I'm locked in here now, huh? Can't go to the competitor. Can't go to anyone in this particular field here. I think that has to be reworked. Maybe there's a negotiation process in play. But all in all, you know, we'll see what happens. What is the next step overall, my friend?
So right now, like I said, it's infancy. After this, it's subject to committee hearings and review. Then there's public comment. If it's passed out of the committee, it's then reviewed by the full council, and then it gets to the mayor for either signature or veto. So let's see what happens. I mean, I think that a lot of time employers take advantage of it and do make it overbroad. We don't want to see somebody working and committing their years to an employer, and then all of a sudden they find themselves trapped and they can't make a living somewhere else.
Right.
Then again, per the example I gave, there has to be some leeway. So it's tough. It's tough legislation to write. I don't know if we're going to see it, to be honest, Jay. But if we do see it, there's going to have to be some significant exception.
No question. No question about it. John Bell. Interesting topic, of course. The Bell Law Group, BellLG.com. And we'll continue to focus in on this as far as what happens next. And look forward to having you back on the show. How's that, my friend?
Really appreciate it, Jay. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.